think I should use them.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yes.
Carlene thinks I should use the mic. Because this mic actually works now. We're becoming more official every day. Lord God, I pray that as you just talk a little bit here and open your word, and I pray that we would continue to hear your voice. I pray that your word would be alive to us. And I thank you for your written word, and I pray for your just the Spirit of God to continue to speak to us. Spirit to spirit, and we want to hear you. And even like that vision from before with the wheat and the chaff, I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would blow through this place and that all the chaff would just be blown away, would be taken out of our lives and taken out of the teaching and taken out of even our worship of you, Lord. We recognize that our worship of you is partial. And we want to worship you more fully. And without mixture. But we recognize, Lord. Well, I recognize I got stuff going through my mind sometimes and things that so easily distract me and thoughts and the week past and the week to come. And I want to worship you more fully. And so I just pray that all the chaff would be blown away right now. And I pray that you would again anoint our ears, touch our ears. To hear. And we praise you. In your name, amen. It's neat how so much of our sharing was about hearing God and again praying over Rachel and Terry and just hearing the Lord, and I want to hear you better. I want to know your voice. I want to hear your word, and it's neat that it went down that road because it's kind of what I was thinking about sharing this morning. And Rusty from down in Indiana, he sent a link to me on my Facebook, and it's this new. A project called the Bible Project, and a number of people just putting together short little video clips, and they're on YouTube, and they've got their own webpage, and just explaining the Word of God, explaining the Bible, and in very creative ways. But whether it's word studies or explaining each book, giving an overview of each book of the Bible, quick overview, like a 10-minute overview. And they have other things. They want to talk about holiness. There's one on holiness and different themes of the scriptures. And so he sent me that link, and I listened to a few of them. And one of them was on hearing the Lord. And, well, specifically the word Shema. And if those of you who are keeping up on your Hebrew... And sometimes our teaching, definitely at the Journey, but that was probably like 2 years ago now. But the Shema is from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5, and that's called the Shema. It's a prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. And and it's the prayer that they stick on their the Jews would stick on their doorposts, and if you get an Orthodox Jew, they'll have sometimes a box kind of tied to their foreheads and stick it in there as well. And so, when it says here, O Israel, the word here is Shema. And so there's this little teaching on it, and I loved it, and it's so cool. And it goes along with what we learn in the rest of Scripture, but I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, what Shema actually means. And we all, I know, talking with us here, we all want to hear the Lord better, and I'm so excited, especially, I'd be excited for anyone, but I get especially excited when it's one of my own children, flesh and blood. It's like, I'm hearing God better. And because I remember, all in our family, and we would talk with the guys, and we would talk about hearing the Lord, and it's, but how do I hear him? I don't hear him. And they never tried to fake hearing him, at least I don't think you guys did. You know, like, yeah, I hear him. You know, they would never, to try and please us, we'd be like, are you hearing the Lord? No. You know, they'd just be bluntly honest. And so it excites me when my children start hearing the Lord's voice, and excites me when we as a church body and family start hearing the Lord's voice more and more. The word Shema then is to hear, and yet it's more than just hearing with your ears. It has a lot more to it than that. And it's, I want eyes to see and I want ears to hear, but I don't want to just hear for hearing's sake. And the Shema, and the word Shema means actually to hear and to put into action, to hear and to focus on what you're hearing, to hear and to obey is what hearing is all about. It's not just listening and being able to repeat, but it is responding, giving attention. At the last worship time, we talked about the word behold. In the New Testament, it's often used, and in the book of Revelation, behold. And it's more than just, look at that. Because some of the newer translations in that maybe say, look and see. But it's more than that. In the word behold, it's actually a command. It's given in the imperative form in the Greek. And so it's like, no, like, look. Like, I command you to look. I command you to see. Stare at it. I've often said, let's, like, when God starts speaking, or when you know that God is moving, you stare at it. Get a picture of it. For me, pictures work, you know, and video, and this just the creative imagination that God has given me. You know, it helps me, but to pay attention and to focus on it and to drink it in, all these analogies that we can give, to soak it in. But it's more than that, even then, the word Shema in the Old Testament. Yes, it's soaking it in, but then it's acting on it. And so to hear with the ear is not enough. You know, all these studies that we can do, all these sermons that we can listen to, we can go to a DTS at YWAM and we can learn a bunch of stuff, and some of it is old things that are being renewed in us and taught maybe from a different perspective. Some of them are new things that maybe we hadn't thought about, verses that we hadn't had explained to us, or things that the Lord wants to do in us, and topics and in our daily lives, in our workplace, in our marriages, in our schools, coming and going. Just taking a walk, you know, we can learn about taking a walk with God by studying the Word of God. But it's more than just learning, it's acting. It's letting us, it's allowing ourselves to be changed. And not just allowing ourselves to be changed, but seeking to be changed. Like, I love it when we share about hearing God. I love it when, you know, I had this picture, I had this dream, I have this word right now, you know, I saw a picture of blue and yellow, you know, kind of thing. Or the whole thing about laying the passport down. He didn't destroy the passport, by the way. You know, other people were destroying their phones and that, but he had to get home, so he couldn't destroy his passport. But okay, that's great. That's great. But what will it do in our lives? How will we allow it to affect us? It's great that we hear a good sermon on WDCX. It's great that a verse is highlighted. You know, even the words given in prayer. You know, I saw Carlene writing it down, a bunch of it down. And if you need, you know, you can go back to her. And I'm sure she wrote most of it down or a lot of it. And others, when words are given, write it down, absolutely, so you can remember. But it's more than just, Shema is more than just, oh, I heard it and I wrote it down and now I can hang it on the wall and put a frame around it and remember when God spoke these encouraging words to me. No, it means acting on it. You know, it means allowing God to affect our lives. It means walking it out, focusing on it, and responding. In Psalm 27, verse 7, the psalmist is crying out to the Lord. You see, when the shoe's on the other foot, we can maybe see it a little bit clearer. So the psalmist is crying out to the Lord, and he says this, "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord." It's Shema, my voice. "When I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me." We're not asking God to just hear the sounds of our voice and hear what we're saying. Oh, I hear you. Yeah, I heard what you say. We're asking him to hear and respond. You know, when we cry out, so we cry out for a loved one. We cry out for someone who is sick. And we ask for healing, and we begin to command the healing, but we also pray for healing. We ask God to hear our prayer and have mercy on us. Oh God, I'm hurting right now. I pray that you would hear my cry. We want him to respond. We want him to respond. When the Lord speaks to us, he speaks to us so that we can respond. I remember hearing a teaching on just rabbis, and in I imagine it's the same today, but especially 2,000 years ago. And when a rabbi would teach, it wasn't just to fill the head. See, our school system fails so much because our school system basically fills with head knowledge. And doesn't really expect anything out of it. We stop teaching things like home ec and shop and accounting. Like, I love the one Facebook post, you know, "I'm so glad I learned about parallelograms in school during this parallelogram season, you know, instead of taxes." Our kids should be learning taxes. Our kids should be learning budgeting. Our kids should be learning how to grow a garden and about soil and about different things, and other things are important as well. And mathematics is important, actually, you know. But so much of what we learn is just expected to be head knowledge and not moved on and not affect our lives. This is not the way of Jesus. This is not the way of the rabbis from 2,000 years ago. If a rabbi taught, he was expecting you to go out and listen, but also then teach others. He's expecting it to affect your life. And so that's why, for instance, when Mary is sitting at his feet and he is teaching her, you know, people who are against women teaching, the thing is, a rabbi would not teach anyone who he didn't expect to go out and teach the same thing. So the fact that Jesus was teaching her shows that he expects her to go out now and teach. You don't just sit on what you learn. You go out and spread it. But so much of our stuff, you know, Tyler did a safety course. Actually, you learned a little bit in the safety course from what you shared, which is good. I've been to a few of those, you know, when I worked at Penner Lumber. And And some of it is so obvious and so sad, and we have to sit there for 12 hours over 2 days or whatever, and so we can get a little certificate that says we are now able to climb a 6-foot ladder, you know? And it's like, really? I'm not bashing our system. Like, that's not my point. My point is, sometimes there is teaching just for teaching's sake, or for money grab, or for this, or for that. When God teaches, when God speaks, he expects us to put it into action. It's for a purpose. It's for a reason. Hear, O Israel. Hear. Hear what I'm saying. And put it into the action. Focus. Act on it. Act on it. Exodus 19, verse 5, when God is talking to the Israelites, they've come out of bondage, right? In the English, in my Bible at least, it says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you'll be treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you'll be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. The word there actually translated obey is Shema. So it could easily be translated, if you hear me fully and keep my covenant. But again, it's not just hearing, it's the keeping. The hearing and the keeping go together. If you hear me, truly hear me, if you're listening, we are to listen to the Lord and hear what he is saying. In fact, hearing with obeying is not listening at all. How do we get to hear the Lord's voice more and more? Obey. Follow. As we were worshiping together, I felt the Lord at one song call me to get the red and the yellow flags and just wave them. It was the first song, and asking God's fire. And it was from the vision that Julie had there of the heat and the light. You know, the heat represented by the red, and the light the yellow representing the light. And just to wave that over. Okay, I can obey that. And then the last song, or one of the last songs, felt called to get the red and the purple. You know, the red being his love, the purple being his royalty, and this royal love that he wants to pour out on us. His love, the love of a king for his children. And then even as I was waving them, just seeing the wholeness of God from Passover to Tabernacles and everything in between, the bookends of Passover and Tabernacles, and just like God's full love for us. And so, okay, I went over there and got that. As we were praying for Rachel, as we were praying for Terry, we hear something and we feel led to share it, so we share it. So it's not just about hearing, it's about obeying, it's about following it through. And even when we're called to wait on something, no, don't share that yet. We wait. I hear your word and I wait. But as we're worshiping, it's like what's coming to me is, it's not just the things about which flag to pick up or when to blow the shofar or if the Lord wants me to dance right now for him or sharing a word. Like, those are good things and those are important things, but as I was contemplating this and thinking about it, that's like the parts of the house that are the colors of the wall and some of the accessories, you know, the light fixtures that he wants in the house and different things. There's foundational stuff that's far more important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yield your life, give your life. Your life belongs to God. Forgive just as you've been forgiven. Be generous. Nothing you have is your own. It all belongs to God. Guard your tongue. Be honest. Those are more foundational things. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I hear God saying, do you hear me? Do you hear me? As I was thinking about this, some verses came to mind, originates in Isaiah, and it's quoted in the New Testament a few times, but God talks about his people Israel. They're ever seeing, but never perceiving. Ever hearing, but never understanding. I don't want you to just see, he says. I want you to perceive. I want you to see the deeper thing. And the way to see the deeper is to walk it out. That's what I have found, actually. I get to know God's voice more and more as I walk out what he tells me to walk out. As I join him where he says for me to join him. And whether that means going to a distant land, going to Thailand and moving my family there, or just joining him in how to love my wife. When I join him in loving my wife, like when he says, let me tell you about marriage. Let me tell you about marriage. Listen to what I have to teach. Okay, so I listen, whether it's through a sermon or a book or reading his word. I should have put reading his word first. You know, whether reading his word or using other people in my life, it's not just, oh, that's interesting, and that's interesting information. No, I put it into practice. And as I put it into practice, I actually hear his voice more and more. As I hear him talk about how to be a father, how to live that out, I hear him more and more. As I hear what he has to say about my finances. Like we just had to make, I made another decision this week that affects us. It's not just theory, it's not just out there and oh that's nice. Let's draw a picture on the whiteboard. I love drawing pictures, don't get me wrong. But let's just draw something or let's wave a flag and it affects us. It affects our bottom line. It affects our life. And I had to make that decision because I heard God saying it to me inside. I heard him speaking to my spirit. And for me, it was a little bit of, oh, shoot, my mouth got ahead of where it should be because I actually put some stuff out there that, oh, I wish I could just grab that back. And I had to go grab it back, and a little embarrassing, a little bit scary, a little bit. I had to grab it back because that's what I heard the Lord saying. So I had to walk it out. But that's how I begin to hear his voice more. When we are faithful with what we've been given, we will be given more. If we're faithful with the words that the Lord speaks and not let any one of them hit the ground, we just won't let any word of the Lord hit the ground. We'll carry them all. We'll take them all in and we'll act on it. We'll begin to hear him more. Because as we are faithful in few things, he'll put us in charge of many things. If he can trust us how to walk out, how to love my children, how to love my wife, he'll start trusting me with how to love my community. Well, church first. So start trusting me with how to love my church. And then how to love the community and his strategy for the community and how to love people, how to see them come to the Lord. And you know what? It's going to be a battle sometimes. This weekend, we were with family a little bit and I had one conversation with someone and I didn't listen to the Lord. I let words come out of my mouth, not anything rude or anything wrong, like as in the world would see it as wrong or anything like that, but in my spirit, as the words just were reaching, you know, the voice box a little bit, I knew I should just keep my mouth shut right now. And I didn't. It's like, oh God, forgive me. I added fuel to a fire that didn't need more fuel. It needed a little bit of holy rain on it. And so ask for forgiveness. You move on. It's like, oh God. Because I don't want anything to keep me from hearing him more. And so first I hear him say, shh, Kevin, just shh. Don't say anything. And after I say something, then I hear him saying, repent. It's like, okay, Lord, I repent. And as I'm faithful, and sometimes it'll be two steps forward, one step back, but as I'm faithful, he will entrust me with more. As I'm faithful to put into practice what I hear him saying, as I understand, and not just understand logically or theologically, and again, don't get me wrong, I love theology. I love doctrine. But doctrines are useless if you don't put them into practice. And there are more important doctrines than other doctrines. Some doctrines are more foundational than others. So sometimes the church spends so much time arguing about doctrines that yes, are important, but are kind of up here while ignoring foundational doctrines. I want to understand it. And in order to understand the ways of God, you have to walk the ways of God. It's the only way we will understand the ways of God. I want to know you more. The only way we will know him more is when we walk with him more. I want to know your heart, then walk with me. Walk with me and let me show you. Oh Lord, you know, it's funny. I was reading this book. I forget which one. But it talked about this one person who had been given the gift of betrayal. So what I mean by that is, they're not given a gift of betrayal where they have the gift to betray others, okay? That's not a gift. That's a gift from the enemy when we betray others. But what he was talking about is he was betrayed. And he counted it as his gift. Because he could understand better what God went through, what Jesus went through with Judas, with Peter, with the rest of the disciples who left him. Jesus was left all alone. None stood with him. Judas, one of the 12, betrayed him. And this person who wrote the book was saying, God gave me the gift of betrayal where I could identify with God's heart, but the only way to walk through that is just, it isn't by studying it and it isn't by reading it, it was by experiencing it. And then walking through it as the Lord himself would walk through it. And I see Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I see him saying to Peter, you know, when you return, you know, when you've been restored, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, take care of each other. I'm going to restore you. I'm not going to hold it against you. And knowing the heart of God, this is just Kevin talking, but knowing the heart of God, I wonder if there was forgiveness for Judas waiting for him. That's just me speculating. Some would say, no, he was doomed to perdition. He was doomed. And it does use words like that in the scripture. But I wonder if he was doomed by his own unwillingness to ask for forgiveness even. I don't know. But I know God's grace is greater. And that's not just a cliche. You want to know God's forgiveness? You want to know about God's forgiveness? You can study it. But you know what? Ask for forgiveness. Ask to see your sin as he sees it. And then ask for forgiveness. Hear and apply it. Hear it and walk it out. Tyler has, as we know, he's led led worship on Monday nights. I think you, I don't know if you played guitar on Sunday morning yet or not, one time. But with his guitar and with his piano, he's learned it on YouTube. And the reason this picture comes to my mind is because they get the YouTube out and they'll watch it, how the chord progression is done or how the fingering, and then press pause and then try it. Look, try. Look, try, you know. We hear and then we apply. We hear the Lord speaking and then we apply it. We hear Him saying something and then we apply it to our lives. We focus on it and we walk it out in our lives. And that is how we will hear Him more. And even more important than hear Him more, that's how we will draw closer to Him. We will know His heart and we will be changed more and more into His likeness. Hear, O Israel. Hear, my church. Hear me speak. I want you to know me so much better. I always knew that I would know God better once I had children. Yeah, as a teenager, I thought like that. I actually did. Because I could study all about the Father's love. I could read books on it, and I could study it and all of that. But I knew I had to experience it. And when Tyler came along, it was amazing. Because here comes this little bundle that is utterly dependent, offers nothing except headache and sleepless nights and, you know, like at the beginning. I'm not saying now, I'm saying at the beginning. And yet I'd give my life for him. I would have given my life for him before he was born. And all of a sudden I understood the way the Father looks at me. Because I was walking out the Father's love. And I made tons of mistakes as a young father, and I still make a few mistakes as an older father now. Praise God, not as many. But the more and more I carried out the heart of God in my parenting, or in being a husband, or being a worker at work, or wherever, but the more I carried it out, we'll stick to parenting right now, the more I understood God. The more I began to hear him. I'm going to share a specific. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, Andrew. You're going to learn something today. If you were here for Andrew's testimony when he got baptized, he described himself as a difficult child. He had other words in his testimony that we made him change, because it was a little bit too hard on himself, we thought. And we don't think he was a difficult child. He just had some stuff to work through. But I remember, yeah, he went through some difficult times, would you say? Some rough times in your head?
Yeah,
battling. I remember one time, if you don't mind me sharing, you can tell me later. Or no, if you do mind me sharing, you can tell me later. But I remember one time, being up in Andrew's bedroom with them, and we were talking, and he had just been mean to Jesse or something, da da da. And Andrew's like, I don't know why I'm like this. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be mean. And he's like, oh, you're breaking my heart. And it's so cute, and it's so sad, and all this. And we prayed together in that. As I was praying for Andrew, the Lord gave me specific instruction about him. Because when he was younger, he's become very comfortable speaking in front of people now. But before, he was very quiet and one word answers sometimes, right? And he would go through the typical, when he got kind of not disgusted, maybe disgusted is the right word, but just sick and tired of the parent speaking that, you know, and I would speak a lot. You just get this face of whatever. Okay? He was one of those. All right? as I was praying for him, especially as he was going through rough stuff, the Lord gave me very specific instruction with him. And it was this: don't push him too hard. Don't push him to the point where he shuts down. So continue to teach him, yes, but notice when you're getting close to that point of the whatever, and where the whatever kind of spirit would take him over. Just make sure you don't put... And that was the only instruction. And so there were many times then where I saw, like, you know, just in the teaching, like raising our children, that where I saw it getting close and I would just back off. Now, I don't know if you would notice, because I still talk a lot, but I could see it, and I remembered the words of the Lord. I heard, right? I heard, I shamad, but not just hearing with my ears. Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, I wrote that down in my journal, and that was such a nice time with me and Jesus. You know, he talked to me about my son Andrew, and oh yay, and yeah, it's on page so and so of my journal. No, I heard and I applied it. Now look at what God has done in all three of our boys, and I can brag on them a little bit. But I hear, you know, Andrew coming back and sharing stories, and my prayer to God is, A, praise you. You know, just like Ruth praying for Terry. You know, it's like, oh God, you're so good. But I remember that, and I say, Lord, you're right. Your word is true. Your instructions are right, and they are good. And here's a lot of examples of what you said. I might not see the goodness of it until I see you face to face when we're in heaven. I won't understand it. But this is one example of a very specific instruction for a very specific person. You didn't say the same for the others, so I would push the others. I would push the other two a little bit, you know, and that. But very specific instruction for one of my sons. I heard. And I listened, I obeyed, I focused on it. I was reminded of it from time to time. And I had to, quite frankly, say to myself, back off, Kevin. Back off right now. Remember what the Lord said. So back off and trust the Lord. Oh, and then my flesh would be like, yeah, but you need to say this to him, and you need to say that to him, and you need to correct this, and you need to correct that. Back off. Remember what the Lord said. And it's not that I didn't correct, and it's not that I didn't teach, and all this, but when I saw it getting close to that, I shamad. May we hear the word of the Lord. May we hear him speaking in his word. And this is foundational. Again, the waving the flags, and even some of the laying on of hands and that's not foundational. It's good, and it's of the Lord. That's not foundational. The word of the Lord here, this is his foundational stuff to us. This is hear the word of the Lord. And as we're faithful in this, he will speak to us about many other things. And then we need to be faithful in that. And then he'll speak to us about other things. And we need to be faithful in that. And this continual heart of, I will listen and I will follow. I will listen and I will obey. And I want to encourage you, this is not a come on people kind of thing. I see us doing it. Carlene and I were laughing because we see two young ladies over there with young ones. Well, we see three young ladies over there. But specifically with Morgan and Candace sharing recently about their decisions to stay home. And you know, Morgan, you with your journey to give up and not just give up your photography business, but willingly and joyfully. And then giving up, you know, possibly, we don't know yet, but like even putting it, like, I don't know what your final decision is yet, but putting that on the table and saying, Lord, I'm willing to walk this out, and I want to walk out what you know is best for our family. It makes me smile and it makes me laugh with joy. Because it's this place of, Lord, we want to hear you, but not just for the sake of hearing you. Not so that we can put a Facebook post up. I heard the Lord. Not so that we can brag and boast about it and have a neat experience, but so that our lives can be changed. And we give up our farm. And we give up opportunities. The world would think are great opportunities. We say yes to the Lord. So this is an encouragement to continue to do that in all things. If you want to hear the Lord better and better, continue to do that. And not just if you want to hear him, if you want to walk closely with him, if you want to know his heartbeat, if you want to know his embrace, continue to hear and to follow in all things. Are there any questions or comments on this?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I assume that's what you were going to say too, right? I'm just kidding.
No, I was just going to say, a lot of times we don't even understand, like, our decisions, how that affects other people. And so even with staying at home and that decision that we've made, yeah, like, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And just walking that out, but then we got together with a couple this weekend, and our lives are kind of on, like, parallel, and, so she's thinking about staying home too, but that means her husband has to get, like, a better paying job. And we just got the opportunity to say, like, pray about it. Like, if God wants you to stay home, he'll provide, and he'll provide a way. Like, just be listening to what God has for you. And, yeah, we said, like, it doesn't make sense for us, but we feel that's what God's calling me to do. And I'm not even worried about it. Like, yeah, he'll provide. Yeah, just our choices affect other people as well. And
yeah.
People see that. So.
Yeah. So true. And our choices affect our future selves. Mm-hmm. I think about being in Bible college and everyone else was sending out resumes. And I heard the Lord say, I don't want you to send out your resume. But that's what fourth-year Bible college students who have a pastoral major do. I can almost guarantee if I hadn't listened to God's voice, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be somewhere else. Probably a lot more successful in the world's eyes, and in the church's eyes even, but I'm fairly certain I wouldn't be here. I am so glad I made that decision to listen to the Lord. Any other questions or comments? So Shema, Emmanuel Grace. The Lord your God loves you. The Lord our God is one. He wants to lead you in everything. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your children. He has a plan for your neighborhood. And I pretty much guarantee it's not what you think. It's better, but it might be harder as well. But Shema, Emmanuel Grace. Shema the Lord. Yeah. Amen. So Lord God, we love your voice. Your voice is life. It's like living water pours out of your mouth. Your breath, you breathe into us, and we live. Just like when you breathed into Adam. When you breathed into him, he became a living soul. When you breathe on us and when you speak to us, it is life itself, because you are life. And Lord, where we have failed to follow, I thank you for forgiveness. Praise you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, for wherever we have sinned and we fail. And we go our own way and we trust ourselves more than we trust you. Thank you for forgiveness. And I praise you for not giving up on us, that you continue to speak to us. And we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. But not just listening with the ear. We want to listen with our lives. We want to respond to you. You are worthy. In your name, amen. Blessings.